You're watching Red Eyes TV Book Burst.
Yeah, MAGA challenge, baby. Yeah. Trump, what up?
What up, Trump?
I'm tuning in to CNN to see what they say next. They call me homophobic, but I love gay sex. They call me racist, but my wife's son's black. Drag queen, show me love, I show them love back. And I don't get it, they call me anti-Semitic, but I love Jews. Honestly, no one's above Jews. Israel's the greatest ally our country could ever have. And I gladly die for them, put me in a body bag. Give them all our money, 11 million a day. Man, that's not enough, we need a triple the pay. And the last thing I'ma say before I go away is I don't mind being replaced as long as it's legal, eh?
Hey, that's an intro, that MAGA boy.
Bass.
Call me what you want, cause that don't matter, boy.
Bass.
I just speak the truth, that's something they don't understand. Why these white liberals trying to tell me who I am? Don't put me in groups.
Woo! All right.
Those are the best rap lyrics I think I've ever heard.
Woo! Wasn't that? What was his name again? I forget that. He plays a clip at the end there with an actual MAGA rap, I do believe. But anyway, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is January 20th, 2025. Hope you're all doing very, very well. Yes, it is inauguration day of Donald John Trump. It's the second inauguration for that guy. He's the 47th, obviously, president of the U.S. So yeah, it's been a fun day watching some of the hilarious things happening with the inauguration. We're going to cover some of the highlights, if you will. But I want to have a little bit of a discussion in terms of is it what are some of the good things that could potentially happen from this, but also how bad could it get? What are some of the things that they might push? Because look, I watched a little bit earlier, and even like. Lutnick is like up on stage and he's talking about like doing talk about tariffs and like before like World War One, how they had like tariffs was the major income source for the U.S. government. It wasn't taxpayers, things like that. And it's like, sure, why not? And they're setting up some external revenue service, things like that, doing the tariffs stuff. Like, okay, great. But, they will say a lot of things. That's the bottom line at the end of the day. And it's not about what you say.
Politicians in the end.
Exactly. Yes. It's about what you do, right? So there's been some footage of, like, good things, obviously, on the migrant front. Some migrants are crying in some South American country. And it's like, well, good. Now you don't have to come and be suppressed by white supremacy in racist America, right? So there has been some things like that. And sure, if Tom Holman gets to work, great. But overall, man, I'm the constant signaling of my blacks and Hispanics, and here's this black band, and we were just watching a live feed now of I guess
this
they're
horrible
since
black
it's been,
brass band that was just like, oh, make it stop, it's hurting my ears. Yes,
they moved indoors, right, because of the weather apparently. So they're moving. They did the main inauguration in the Rotunda, which is very small, so a lot of people are sitting at this. Was it the Capital One Arena? Is that what it's called? But yeah, exactly. From there, they had like this.
Only in America, yeah.
And now for the marching band of the classic historical black college. And it's like, where's the white college at? Can you bring in the white college?
Yes.
Anyway, so there's a lot of boomer MAGA cringe. And of course, we love our boomer waffen here, so it's nothing about that. It's boomerism is a mindset, not a generation.
There's good, there's bad, there's ugly, there's predictable.
Yeah.
A few question marks.
But it's very interesting to see. I think that's one of the major takeaways, is really how much establishment puppets, including those who helped to rig the 2020 election against Trump.
Yeah, it just
I've just
lets
joined
them in
right
party.
In, tons of big tech bros, and Tim Cook is there, and Jeff Bezos
no,
is there, and
be
Mark
like,
Zuckerberg
screw you.
Is there, and
this
Sam Altman
is my
is
revenge
there.
Term. I'm not letting you back in. I remember how you were trying to rig an election, working against me, censoring my supporters. No. But he lets him in. By the way, I just wanted to say also happy Martin Luther King Day.
Well,
because I know you guys just love him. You love this fraudulent, total degenerate, charlotte,
anti-white.
Communist, anti-white puppet that was used by lots of Jewish subversives in America to transform it. And isn't America a better place?
Did you get all the... All the words in there before?
No, there's so many more.
I was trying
to rush it.
I know. Yeah, don't rush it.
MLK Day.
We'll do it live, damn it.
The third Monday falls on, this time it falls on the same day as Inauguration Day, but Inauguration Day has always been on January 20th since the 1930s.
Yep.
And I'll remind people, I'll mention this a little bit later, but first there was Lee Jackson Day, though. Let's celebrate that instead. Let's make it a pro-white day. This was
Robert E. Lee?
Yes, 1889. Yeah. So we can honor Lee Jackson instead.
Wait,
commemorating
Lee Jackson? But that's not saying it's Robert E. Lee.
No. It's two guys here. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. So they kind of just merged into Lee Jackson Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was illuminated in 2020. But yes, it was celebrating, honoring the Confederate commanders, Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. And remember, they were taking down all the statues and all this and saying they're these horrible white supremacists and all that. So you don't hear about it as much. But the original holiday was on Lee's birthday, January 19 until 1904. And the intent of this Lee Jackson Day was to, you know, celebrate these Confederate generals who had fought for the state of Virginia during the American Civil War. And then in 1983, this merged with the new Martin Luther King.
The new religion.
The new saint replaced these guys. This commie saint replaced these good Confederate generals who
I said
we should be honoring.
Someone said Martin Luther King. But it's a Marxist Luther King. Also in chat there over on Odyssey. That's a good one.
Yeah, we'll take that one. I saw Elon. He was sharing Tim Cook, the Apple fag.
Tim Apple?
The Apple fag, yes. The guy who's, you know, kvetching.
I was going to say, doesn't he have him in the title? Yeah, there it is right there. But but wokeness has defeated everyone.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
But he has this, he does this line here. Dr. King once said, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. And then Tim Cook says, true greatness is lifting others, making a difference, and serving with purpose. Let's honor his legacy by finding ways to serve and create a better world. And I said, MLK wasn't great, and he only served himself. He was beating up two prostitutes the night before he died. He was a charlatan, a degenerate, a communist, a plagiarizer, and a fraud.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's the truth of it. And this is...
Yeah.
It drives me nuts with these MLK conservatives.
Even Alex Jones does not look into this history
of who this guy... Well, it doesn't matter his past. Listen to the good words he's... Of course it matters. He's a puppet. He's being used. He was a fraud. He was really anti-white in the end. And how is anything that Martin Luther King did, how did it heal race relations in America? That was never going to happen, okay? Some fancy little poem that some Jew wrote is not going to, like, end racial differences in America and just make us all come together and sing Kumbaya.
It is funny, though, that they wheel that line out, right? Like, not what skin color you have, but the content of your character. And then it's like, well,
the content of his character was rotten.
Well, exactly. But even overall, in terms of, like, yeah, on average, let's look at crime statistics. And it's like, yeah, we are judging you based on your your character. Like, what do you...
Classic meme.
And it's,
you know,
and it's obviously then tied for anyone who has pattern recognition. Also to racial category, you know what I mean?
Yes.
On average, there's always, you know, outliers or whatever. But on average, like, there are patterns and sets, predestined sets of behaviors, more or less. And you can't live your life as just like, well, it's just a one-off and let's not see patterns. And let, you know, you will lose if nothing in nature works that way.
No.
Human civilization will never survive if it's going to try to keep up with that shit.
Forcing integration by gunpoint was never going to turn out good, okay? Just the roots of it right there. And anytime there's communists and subversive Jews behind this guy, we'll pull up a couple other things after Elon's a Nazi salute here. Do you want to show that first or do you want me to continue?
I guess we can. Right? I just want to say that too. Everybody can be great because everybody can... Serve what?
He served himself.
Tim Butthole Cook.
Yeah.
Serve what? You're fucking censoring people back in Apple was one of the first companies that started removing everybody that they didn't like and they did bow down to this type of religion or whatever. Meanwhile, of course, they had like Kill Whitey lyrics on their Apple Music store. That was no problem or whatever. But you made fun of some Hitler memes or something. You remember that?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh,
10 years
God.
Ago. You know. 10 years ago, I remember.
Yeah.
Getting a podcast ban from there.
Yeah, it was the podcast where we talked about the greatest story never told, and appropriately, I guess that's a better term, appropriately, as the thumbnail for that show, We used that. Remember the iPod commercial when the iPod, yes. the it's like the character is blacked out kind of thing, and or just a shadow, but you can see the white earbud to the iPod, right?
Think different, right?
So we switched, yes. you know, that the I forget who made that. Maybe it was the Greatest Story Never Told people who did that. Dennis, what's his name? Forget his last name. Wow. Okay, anyway. But it was Hitler, like an outline of Hitler. And I forget if it was the... Was it the mustache that was white like the ear pods, something? Anyway, think different was the slogan, right?
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Because Apple had that commercial, right, of like, oh, the outsiders and the dissident. Not, they didn't use the word dissident, but like those who kind of go against the grain.
Biting
or
the apple
like, you know,
of forbidden knowledge and all this crap, yeah. Right.
And,
except for that.
That's why we made a spoof of that ad that Apple made. Of Think Different, and we instead of adding in there now totally accepted saints like Einstein and MLK and all these, you know, you put, you know, some of the real, actually historically dangerous people in there, you know, kind of thing. I do think different, but none of that was accepted, you know, kind of thing. Obviously not. It was just this trick. Let's just use the underdog as a meme until we can get the foot in through the door and become the upper dog, and then we'll crush the underdog. Right? That's what has happened essentially.
Yes.
Anyway. Okay. So this happened. This was funny, right? Oh, actually, let me do that Trump thing first, because this set the tone for the thing quite a bit. Here's what he said, and he ties MLK into it, unfortunately, because this is the religion, right? It doesn't matter if it's Democrats or Republicans. It doesn't matter if it's GOP or log cabin Republicans or MAGA Republicans. MLK is the religion, right? Anti-racism is the religion. And keep in mind, too, all that would be, I could even, I'm not going to go too far and say all that's good or whatever, but I would say, the thing is, it's done at the expense of white people and white interests, right, as a way to trample on them. But I could accept it or tolerate it if, like, whites were allowed to have what we need to have to survive as a race, right?
Yeah.
Standing up for our interest, ensuring demographic survival of our countries, all over the Western world, the white world, and so forth.
Civil rights was always meant to be a sledgehammer against whites.
It was a weapon against whites.
It was never about, oh, we'll give you equality. Everyone's going to have equality under the law.
Yeah.
No. That's where Jewish communist subversives were always planning on taking it. That's why so many years ago you saw in the 50s, you know, boomers holding signs, race mixing is communism, because they were talking about these things back then. They saw where it was going.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They knew exactly that it was a war against white Americans. They saw the long haul where it was heading.
I would even accept you don't have to shit on it. Just don't bring it up. Can we start there? Just don't bring it up. Just don't mention it then or something. Anyway, this is what he said. Nothing about whites, right? Can't mention the untouchables, right? The whites.
To the black and Hispanic communities, I want to thank you for the tremendous outpouring of love and trust that you have shown me with your vote. We set records, and I will not forget it.
And it wasn't that great, by the way. We should underline that once again. We've looked at the statistics, and the points of increase among blacks and Hispanic weren't that astronomical. Like, someone said, oh my God, they all came over each other. No, it's like blacks was like still 80% or something voted Democrat. You know what I mean? It's insignificant, essentially. But anyway, back to the clip.
I've heard your voices in the campaign, and I look forward to working with you in the years to come. Today is Martin Luther King Day, and his honor, this will be a great honor. But in his honor, we will strive together to make his dream a reality. We will make his dream come true.
What dream is that exactly?
To get into our country clubs and use our same toilets. That's like, you had,
well,
let's remind people too, like, blacks did better under segregation. I remember when we lived in the South, I talked to some old blacks. They're like, yeah, we were more intact. Things were better actually when we were like segregated. So let's go back to that. Okay.
Well, ironically, they still are clamoring for their own spaces. They want everything to be their own stuff. The only problem is, they've done a switcheroo, right? So now whites can't have any of it.
Yes.
You can't. You as whites can't have any.
They
of
have their
things.
Own country clubs and own, toilets, yeah. And they can be in ours.
Here are all the things for everybody, and then for Indians, it's this. For the Chinese, it's this. For the blacks, it's this. For the whatever it is, whatever subgroup, but Europeans have their own
stuff.
At
the end
stuff.
Of the day, what were they mad about? They couldn't go to our some. This wasn't everywhere in the country though. They couldn't go into some stores and some restaurants or some parks or so what? To go somewhere else. Why do you have to force your way into somewhere that you're not wanted? I never understood that when I was learning this stuff as a kid. Like, why do they need to be, those blacks need to be in that space so bad?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was, Jewish subversives and rabbis behind them leading this all the way. You know, Stanley Levinson, Rabbi Abraham Herschel, Jacob Rothschild. I mean, they all had other interests in mind. Anyway, continue.
Rabbi Rothschild, but not from that Rothschild family?
I'm not
family?
Sure. Rabbi Jacob Rothschild.
I know, many
some
of the,
people
there are some
speculated that,
Rothschild
yeah,
names,
but I don't yeah. know. Are they overtly Jewish Rothschilds?
Rothschild family. Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously, yeah. But I'm saying, I wonder if they're directly related to that particular family. There are some others that
know.
Have taken
I know
name,
there are some people that use the name Rothschild.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so anyway, here's a funny thing that happened on the way to Mars. No, I'm just joking. Which is, of course, a bold Roman here by all our favorite
was it though?
Brain chip implant or guy. let's take that again.
I just see like a Spurgy autist. Let me try that.
Can we do it? Okay, so here's the full the full 20-second context.
Come on, everyone, do it with us.
And I just want to say thank you for making it happen. Thank you.
Woo, look at that.
My heart goes out to you. It is thanks to you that the future of civilization is assured.
I don't know about that. You need white people to ensure or usher. Do you see usher?
Interesting. The future of civilization. Is it because of the Mars thing again?
Yeah, that's what he thinks. Like, it's all just... It's Elysium, basically.
Here it is. It was mentioned right when he was going, like, America's going to Mars.
Look at Barron Trump. He's just, like, bored. He's like, what?
Yeah, everyone thinks he's going to be
some
monarch.
Please be a Nazi. Please be a Nazi.
Monarch of America one day or something like that. Yeah, one can wish, right, kind of thing. But, yeah, no, it's Mars, right? He did mention that. Trump mentioned that in the inaugural speech. That they were going to send astronauts to Mars, and it was like the it's all about Mars for Elon. He got to fulfill the prophecy of Wernher von Braun. Remember?
Yes, that's
right. Throwing Romans, von Braun, Elon. I'm like that guy now with the math. You know, the math equations just like flying. But woo-hoo-hoo. No, that's not. He's just the. He's just the spur of the moment guy. He doesn't even know. We'll see what comes up. But it is interesting. Remember the whole the Roman thrown at the NPI conference, right?
Yes.
The media meltdown because
God,
of that.
Oh my God, they went crazy.
But now that's happening up on stage.
And we were there. We saw that, and there were so many guys who were just messing around. We
of
saw
course.
One guy who had his life ruined. He's like, I don't know, I just thought it was fun. I was just doing it because everyone else was, and his life like got destroyed.
Oh, that's right.
After
he didn't
that.
Even do it from the podium. That's right. It was just one guy, a couple of guys, or one or two.
Yeah,
in
and
the
we
audience.
Like knew
that's
those
right.
guys, and they were. Yeah. No fun allowed, you know?
Nope.
Oh, my gosh.
No fun allowed. That's correct. All right. Anyway, so this is the framing of this, right? Elon Musk just did a Nazi salute at the Capital One
yeah,
Arena.
Yeah, right. He's not, okay,
I
Elon
wish.
Musk is not a Nazi, okay? Free Palestine guy.
No, he's not.
Yeah, these free Palestine people are always anti-white in the end, you know?
Yeah, of course they are. So anyway, so I guess Mars is a big priority, something.
Yeah, look at Barron Trump here. Look at how tall he is. This guy. Looking around.
Does he have some...
what is he thinking about, I wonder? Like,
does he have
what
some...
do you think about your dad playing YMCA at the end of a rally?
Well, he didn't look too amused. I remember they sitting at the table together with his dad and a few others, and it was just like...
That was during the party, yeah. Like some of these parties and these places he gets dragged to. I wonder what he's thinking about. No.
Did he have some like autism or something? Was that what
he kind of appears to?
I forget what the
I don't
official
think he's vaxxed,
story
though. I don't think
was.
Trump vaxxed him.
Yeah, I mean, you could have ADHD or different types of things. I mean, hopefully he's level-headed. I'm not saying I wish he's.
I mean, it's got to be hard to be growing up in this kind of environment too as a kid. So I'm sure it's messed with him a little bit as well. You know, who knows what he's seen?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Elon Musk just did the Bellamy salute, isn't that it? The Bellamy, remember the Bellamy salute? That's what that is. You just greet the flag by doing that, right? That's it. It's the Bellamy salute and the old Roman.
Oh my gosh, it's going around every. He hasn't responded to that.
Though. Nah, it's just. I mean, yeah. Anyway.
I wanted to share a couple. This is good to go back to my MLK day before we move on. How he was a fraud, a hypocrite, a pervert, all this stuff. Yeah, and even liberals at the time didn't trust him. JFK, they were monitoring him. They decided to wiretap him. And what did they discover? He was a total degenerate. He was doing drugs, having these orgies with all these prostitutes. He wasn't a good preacher, man. He wasn't a good Christian. He wasn't a good husband and, you know, all that crap. No, he was awful. And also, he had plenty of alliances going with lots of violent anti-white groups, but this is a good one to play a beast as saint.
Destroy Zog.
The truth about Martin Luther King, and there's a lot of Jewish connections here, like I was talking about.
Oh yeah,
rabbis, powerful interests, how they were teaming up with blacks, you know, to be, you know, to start the whole social justice movement, turn blacks against whites, but also to try and make them into Zionists, right? Because MLK was a big Zionist. He was a big supporter. Of Israel.
I think because I have a quote here, actually.
He was surrounded by Jews, and they were, you know, beating him things to say, and they were giving him money, you know, they were pushing him, they're basically essentially telling him what to do. So then he's like, okay, yes, I love Israel. I support Jews and the Jewish cause. And
yeah, here's the actual quote. Let me pull this in here, because I remember having it from before. He said, quote, "Israel must exist and has the right to exist, and is one of the great outposts of democracy in the world." Because, of course, he knows who picked up the tab, right? He knows who educated him. As you said, Stanley Levinson was a big, you know, supporter. And again, as you said, I mean, as they knew at the time, yeah, this guy was, you know, placed there by communism. And in some regards, that's... you know, Bolshevism, Marxism, communism, it's more or less a Jewish invention, right? It's one of their great exports, as it were. And here he is with the rabbi holding the Torah scrolls, say, right, of like racial, equality and blah, blah, blah. And of course, one of the tactics, one of the reasons for this, why they adopted this so widely, is because the Jews at the time saw that this is a successful strategy to actually quote unquote, hide among other minorities prominently featured within society. This is not the only reason, mind you, but it's one of the reason why they have promoted open borders and multiculturalism and multiracialism, multi-religious, multi-ethnic societies in Western countries where they are in, because that takes the eyes off of them a little bit, right?
Yes.
It's kind of what they're doing now with Indians of sorts, right? You know, you have them heading up a lot of big tech companies and stuff like that. And it's almost like this passing of the here, give it to India. They're, you know, that's your, you know, fight with them now, or, you know, something like that. It's a strategy, basically. Political.
Well, I have a link in there. Strategy. A special bond. Martin Luther King Jr., Israel and American Jewry. This is by Stuart Applebaum. There's a link here, right?
The RAC one?
Right in here. Yeah. And it's interesting that they say today, Dr. King's close bond with the Jewish community is treated only as a small footnote of his life and work. And then they go on to say, why? Because Jews were such a huge part of Martin Luther King and pushing, you know, these so-called civil rights and stuff. Why is that? Why is it, like you had said to JFK, when they're following him, all this stuff comes up about what a total degenerate is, his communist ties, but nothing about these rabbis and these Jewish communists that were around him. Yeah, like when dirt was coming out about Martin Luther King. I'm saying when JFK was having him wiretapped.
He didn't trust him. Okay.
Liberals didn't trust him. Mm-hmm. How come none of the Jewish aspects came out? Why do you want to hide it? I thought they were proud of that and proud of MLK and the civil rights movement.
Well, I mean, again, they can say it when it's advantageous to them, when it's good. But when you're saying it and think it's a bad thing, then you should be banned for saying that. And in fact, it's a hate crime. It's like this video, right? Let's do it. It's only 50 seconds long, but let's remind everybody that these are what they consider to be positive traits when we consider it to be negative traits. Look.
I am Jewish and proud because Jews have always done what's right. We've led the fight for gay rights. Harvey Milk fought to ban discrimination based on sexual orientation. Eddie Windsor was a leader in the fight for marriage equality. Miriam Ben-Shalom challenged the ban on gay people serving in the military.
She's so
We've
excited
helped
about
lead
this.
The fight for racial justice. Our rabbis are BFFs with MLK.
There
Together with black leaders, Jews helped to establish over 20 HBCUs. During the civil rights movement,
well,
Jews
were disproportionately
involved.
Now since all of these things?
It's so great. And just, thank
it's
you.
So, it's so unified and
yes.
so amazing.
Great
just like
place.
The 1965 Hard Seller Act, too. And these. I'm working on a little video. I just have to record it about that. How our founding fathers were actually white nationalists, folks.
In the protest.
Yes, they were.
We've led the fight for women's rights, for equal pay and the right to choose, and against discrimination in the workplace. Jews were also among the first on the ground in Turkey, Ukraine, and Haiti. In Judaism, when it comes to helping others, no action is too big or too small. The Jewish principle of Tikkun Olam tells us that we have the power to change the world. And there are so many ways to do that. And this is why I am Jewish and proud.
Oh my gosh, it's so annoying.
Now, can you tell us about those little ridges on the side of the coins?
Yeah.
What is that about? Can we go into detail about that? Because there's some headline there of like everyone hates the Jews because we're the beacon of morality. You know? It's like,
and we're just
why
jealous.
Is a rabbi on Pornhub again?
Yes.
What's with coin clipping? You know, where do we start? It's only this open borders for you because we're helping Goy.
Yes,
right?
we're healing the world.
But Israel, on the other hand, but anyway.
Last thing about MLK,
sure.
I just want to share this documentary by, remember, Pastor Steven Anderson. So if there's any MLK-worshipping conservative Christians in your life, just send them this documentary. It's pretty good, exposing the truth about Martin Luther King kind of from more of a Christian pastor's perspective.
Oh, I'm sorry. Which one was this again?
It was the second
this
link I
here?
Had
yep.
in there.
Yep.
Yes,
yep.
yes. That's a good one to share with some mm-hmm. of your conservative MLK worship.
Marxist Lucifer King.
Well, but, you know,
nice.
Anderson says some good things in there. And, of
no,
course,
he's good
you know,
on
Anderson's the guy who's
he's kind
like,
of nutty, but he's good on something.
He challenges all the Holocaust myth
right.
and all that stuff, too.
Sure,
so
yeah.
He knows.
Yep, yep. He's a the real Jews guy.
I know.
Which is just, you know it's just you do you have do you have
I
to
know. I'm just,
do you
I'm
have
just trying to,
to
take
can
the
you
good
just
here.
Not,
I'm just trying to take what's the good.
I know. It's there is a place and time for this. If it gets you there, that's good. I
but you know yeah. if it works on that crowd, then send it to them. You know?
Yeah. Okay. we can do a couple of.
Oh my gosh. Sure. I can't believe Albert and Joni, you two are amazing. You really are paying our rent, and we're so appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Holy
paying
smokes.
The high rent here. Albert says, hi, guys.
The lights
really,
on.
Really excited for the special inauguration show. I didn't get to watch much. Really been working all day. That's what us white people do on MLK Day.
Exactly. Yep.
Why do we work? Because we're white, right? Why does aspirin work? Because it's white. That's the old joke. I will say that all of our customers are very optimistic since the trucking industry around here is very dependent on the coal and gas drilling industries. That's the one big positive I see for a Trump presidency. My mm-hmm. other hope is that he pardons all the J6 prisoners. Yes.
Yeah, well, exactly. There's a couple of things there, right?
He made a comment on that, so we'll see.
Yeah, well, yeah. The
he better.
Drilling energy, he's going to get out of the Paris Accord. All that's great, you know, kind of thing, obviously, energy independence and whatnot. But at the end of the day, it comes down to what happens as opposed to what they say, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with the J6ers. And my prediction, I hope I'm wrong, but hopefully, you know, hopefully he will pardon as many as possible. I think they'll pardon a few hundred maybe or something like that, like a couple of hundred people.
I mean, how many
people?
Are in there? Jeez, how many J6ers?
Someone
prisoners?
Said in a stream once, and it was like, was it 500 or 600 people or something like that? Or is it more? Maybe I'm way off. Maybe I'm misremembering
yeah,
that.
It's hard to know. That
if chat has it, please let us know. But yeah.
Joni says, hello, Mike, and I wanted to send a little more support for the special occasion. I think we are a little more excited for Trump than Albert is. Probably just us being boomers. No, I get it.
Yeah.
I just so love Melania. Yeah, she is beautiful. I always support my Slavic sisters like you, Lana. We're having dinner by the fireplace together watching the show. Go Red Eyes. Much love and God bless,
awesome.
Mike and Joni. Thank you. So
Thank you.
Much.
We appreciate you guys very much. Thank
very,
you so
very
much.
Much.
You guys are so kind. Yeah, absolutely. No, I get it. And it's not, you know, the point here too, you know, to put in the right framing, right, is our point is a little bit, this is the establishment now, right? And I think you can see that. We'll show some links later, but like how the tech sector and most of that type of industry, they've adopted Trump of sorts. And I'm not sure which direction this goes. Is it Trump's that have taken them under his wings, or is it them that are taking Trump under their wings, right? That's a big difference, a power play of sorts. I think it's part of that, okay, we can't beat him, let's join him, and nudge him and butter him up and steer him and do what we want him to do. And yeah, I think there is some truth to that. Like if you schmooze around enough around Trump, he will like play ball with you, essentially.
He'll take you back.
Unfortunately, and I think that's a huge mistake. We'll see, but I think that's a huge mistake, kind of thing. And that's just leaving the Israel stuff to the side and the problem with all of that. Just thinking of the things that he has in mind of what he wants to do with America. You know what I mean? Like, but it's if they're the establishment, this is my point. If they are the establishment, it's the job of people like us and so many others, right, that kind of see this, to hold their feet to the fire, to push and to pressure and to make sure that they not only stay on course on the few good positive things that they have said that they're going to do, but make sure to push it even harder, right?
Yes.
It's not blackpilling just for the purpose of blackpilling. You know, there's other people, let's say, in the influence industry, they're catering a lot to the MAGA crowds and stuff like that. And my point is kind of like we need to push these people harder and further, or is it farther? Anyway, we need to get them to adopt the type of mindset and thinking that will ultimately ensure the survival of our people, of the European race, yep, kind of thing. And I'm seeing a lot of them don't have that. Hence, we need to criticize them. Hence, we need to, if ridicule works, fine. If shaming works, fine. If diplomacy works with these people, fine. I don't care which way we go here, but they need to understand that, like, there's a grassroots, you know, segment here of people that are dedicated to the survival of our folk, right? And it's our job to keep these people on point.
That's right. And if they're not, the they need to be that drive replaced. Mainstream, yeah, politics,
well,
right?
That's what it is. Extremes. Exactly. So this thing of like trying to, well, you know, because you can look at an Alex Jones, right? He had, I think he had a screenshot there, right? Like, we did it. That was his latest tweet. If you look below, we did it.
Oh, no, the work is just
beginning. President Trump's historic. Exactly, right? No, it's who did what exactly?
Nothing's
what,
happened just yet.
Not yet, you know? And again, if there could be some positive fallout, and we'll look at a moment here in what's happening at the border and stuff, and all that's well and good. However, if they're going to do a switcheroo with H-1B visa bullshit, they're going to have more legal immigration than ever. That's worse. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We all want to stop illegal immigration, obviously, but not at the behest of them
Trump
importing mass amounts
Trump's
of other people.
Trump's definitely getting that message. He's hearing people are not happy about
I hope
these
so, buddy.
H-1Bs. I've seen him comment on this.
I don't know. There's just so many of these activist Jewish interests around him. There's so many Indian interests. There's all these tech bros now in that sector. They just like bring in the cheap labor. Because these, at the end of the day, like, it's not just about American corporations. It's about these are transnational, you know, conglomerates now, like massive corporate. They don't have any allegiance to America. If they can have an office on American soil,
money.
Like, you know,
it's
okay, fine, we'll
them.
Do that. But they'll scooch off to China tomorrow or India if that's more business friendly for them.
So
all right,
let's talk about some of Biden's pardons.
We had one here in Odyssey. I can take real quick. Troggy Trog says, "Hey, Enrique Lana, here's something to help you keep the pantry full, keep the great work, and stay safe." Thank you, very generous donor as well.
Thank you
so much. We appreciate it. Okay, so. Should we talk about the Biden, the pardon here a little bit? Because this is disgusting, right? Like, on the way out here, he's
it's an omission
pardoning,
of guilt too.
You know, a lot of these people that potentially could be held accountable, right? So here we go.
His own family.
His own family, he's pardoning. Excuse me. in certain cases, he says here, some have even been threatened with criminal prosecutions, including General Mark A. Milley, Dr. Anthony S. Fauci, and the members and staff of the Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol. So blah, blah, blah.
They know basically. Everyone wants Fauci's blood. They know it, and that's why he's doing this. And it's also, you see when he's like also protecting his own family, they're admitting guilt.
Yeah, I get that they think that they were going to be prosecuted or whatever.
Pardons, even.
Yeah. Pardon General Milley, as you said right there, Fauci, members of Congress, Capitol Metropolitan Police officers.
So are you saying that they committed crimes? That's what you're saying. Right? Because, has Fauci been charged with anything yet?
They're afraid that they
will... Preemptive pardons.
Remember for a while there was some in the Republican Party that were like, we're going to investigate the COVID bullshit and what's the origins and gain-of-function research and all that kind of stuff, right? And also basically to just immunize themselves against any kind of accountability.
Retribution, they're afraid
and,
of that.
And
yes.
It's not just Fauci, it's a Barrick, it's the Borlas, the vaccine people. And you have Trump pushing the Operation Warp Speed and that shit as well. As part of that, there's a reason why they might have done it anyway. But I'm saying there was a whole well-oiled machine at that time and they all worked together to get that done. And it's not really just about Fauci. Look, he's obviously an asshole, and he has fingers in these types of bioweapon research pies for a long time, so he certainly deserves to be prosecuted and held accountable for everything he's done. But there's so many others, too, by the way. He's just like the face of this thing, essentially. Yes. He became the face of it. Last-minute pardons, right? I believe in the rule of law, but, right, remember he said, what is that? No one is above the law.
He pardoned his own son, remember?
His own family.
Too.
Yeah, what was it? His brother? Let me see, was this the one? Oh, this is the one for Fauci. I forget who it was. Was it James B. Biden or something? What was his name again? I forget what it was. His brother? And I was like, what has he done? I don't remember what the title
was. Yeah, there
was in there.
Several people, I think, in his family. He was obviously, like, what are you guys up to? Well, we know they're a crime family.
You have Hunter. You do have the Ukraine as a, what do you call it, money laundering operation. Like, you do have all that shit there, which is totally insane kind of thing. But this is what they do. They pardon themselves. Preemptive pardons, and they put themselves in a position where basically they will not be held accountable.
And remember back in 2020, all these liberals, though, just to point out the hypocrisy, they were freaking out that Trump was going to preemptively pardon his family because of retribution, right? He was afraid Trump had discussed concerns about the Justice Department under Biden maybe going after his family for retribution, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so... they were like, oh my gosh, he might preemptively pardon. What does this mean? It means they're admitting that they're guilty, right? And he didn't actually do that, but we could play this quick clip. We don't have to play the whole thing.
Sure, we can do a little bit. I mean, he did pardon some absolutely horrible
people. Yes, he did.
People.
Yes, he did.
Jonathan Pollard, Israeli spy. Charles Kushner, Jared Kushner's father, the Jewish mafia guy. The insurance, I forget what his name was, one of the largest medical insurance frauds in American history was some Jewish guy.
Seems like the media didn't care too much about those.
They didn't cover too much of that.
There was
actually
a little bit of like, ooh, look at these criminals, but they were more obsessed with if he was going to pre-pardon his own family.
Right? Which he didn't do then,
right?
No, exactly. But Biden does it.
Yes.
Interesting, huh?
Getting a preemptive pardon who was innocent of all
like Fauci
crime, who's just an innocent person. Have you ever heard of that?
Not
just
that he's innocent,
getting a blanket pardon and they're an innocent person.
But no, it's the president's own family. It's people that have been covering up for the president in addition to his own family.
Is there an innocent explanation for someone to seek preemptive pardons for family members? Would you do that if you knew you were innocent and just worried about outside forces?
The answer to that is going to be no. If you haven't done anything wrong, you sit there and go, what do you need a preemptive pardon?
Exactly, Fauci.
Yep. That's a schnoz on
that. If he pardons people preemptively, he's essentially telling the public that these people have committed crimes, and we may not be aware of what they are.
This is what Biden
but
is
the
doing.
Pardon yeah. is clear evidence that crimes have been committed.
I imagine if he decides to issue these preemptive pardons, it will be cast in a way that he is protecting his family and protecting their reputations from, you know, villainous exterior forces that are against him.
First off, we should just take a deep breath and acknowledge the audacity of a president who's so clearly concerned about his own criminal culpability and that of his family members that pardons are a major obsession with him.
The idea of a kind of prospect.
Oh, this guy can't.
Anyway, you get it. We don't have to watch.
Rachel Maddow's
liberals,
lesbian sister here. I don't know if. This is all well and good, and these people, these media people are the scum of the earth, right? And for the longest time, they have lied and cheated and stolen and enabled censorship and destruction of people's lives. Like, they've done all these things. But because of the mismanagement, essentially, of the position that they had, they have made themselves largely irrelevant. They still hold power. They still should be held accountable. So don't get me wrong. But it's a little what I'm seeing a little bit of this is, and I have some more on this later. We'll kind of return to that topic a little bit. But it's still that, like, you have a segment that are still posting, you know, kind of memes making fun of the liberal Karen screaming in 2017 kind of thing. And it's like, there's bigger
less of
fish
that though.
Too.
There's a little bit less of that.
I do agree with that. But there is some of that still. And I feel a little bit of this with the media too, that it's almost like someone's be turned into a, how do I put this? If they're against something that causes a de facto knee-jerk response that whatever they're against has to be a good thing. And I would be very surprised if there's no one among those types of people that, you know, pay the salaries to these media people that is aware of that and have said at some point here, let's use this in some kind of capacity. Let's use the media in such a way that we attack someone and we know that that kind of gives something an immediate level of credibility. You see what I'm saying? And so that should, and it might not be the case. Some of them are hysterical lunatics. Some of the, you know what I mean? But I'm saying, don't be surprised if there's someone there who knows how to play this now a little bit, because it's a different environment in 2025 as opposed to what it was in 2017. You know, and that's the point of where we're getting to in terms of like how these tech establishment people are showing up essentially, right? But anyway,
like this shape.
This was kind of funny. This summarizes the inauguration here a little bit. Here we go. Here's some nod in the background, and then two AI tech nerd bros. Well, I guess Kushner is a Jewish mafia guy, right? Checking out the titties of Jeff Bezos' Mexican wife.
What is she wearing? Isn't this like totally inappropriate? I saw some other pictures where she's standing up, and it's literally just like a bra underneath this coat showing off her, you know, boob job or whatever. But it's just like, keep it classy just for this events?
Nope. I guess not. I mean, this is funny. Zuckerberg checks out the boobies here of Bezos' wife 4 times, I think it is. Oh, is this not going to play? Here we go. One.
Agency, we know who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. So to some extent, the Defense Department takes care of itself. But I think he'll be very clear about what civilian person is filling that role in the interim. You know, I just noticed another kind of interesting, the entertainment here.
Check it out.
That's always a challenge. It was particularly a challenge.
There we go. Number three. Was that number three? Number four.
He's so awkward. He's such an awkward guy. And why is he allowed to even be here? Can we just point that out again? Why?
Well, yeah. Well, and also
why
keep in mind,
is he allowed? Why are they not throwing? Why do they not?
He's in the front row. Yes. By the way. This is very symbolic. Where they
election
place whom?
Meddling.
And yep.
Last
exactly.
Election. Yep. All of a sudden, all of that is just forgiven. I just know what is going on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a betrayal, really, you'd think, against those that did have legitimate concerns about the 2020 elections and all that stuff. Yeah. And again, they're act. Look, if there's some, I doubt this, you know, I'm kind of, I don't even want to bring it up, right? But if it's some kind of like, he'll think they're on his side, Trump will take their money, right? Because Suck donated a million to the inaugurational fund or something like that, right? He's throwing a party, by the way, too. I think that's later today, or maybe it's starting here in a few hours, with like big Jewish donors like Miriam Adelson and things like that. And if Trump, I'll stab him in the back later, kind of thing, right? This is Zuckerberg's attempt to get in and to save his own ass, and he didn't get a pardon from Biden because he doesn't have to, right? But if there was a true, you know, elections investigation, stuff like that, yeah, there was some documentary out, all the MAGA people are talking about it, called Rigged, with like how much money Zuckerberg poured into helping to rig the election for Biden and stuff like that. Now, boom, turncoat, switching around, switcheroo, we're doing away with the men's tampons, everybody, in the men's, restroom. We're dropping woke, okay? Everything is forgiven. We're in with the, and I just don't buy it. Mm. I mean, this should don't do it. But here's some others anyway. Influencers, tech bros, MMA fighters at Trump's inauguration. all these guests that are there. Pachai, this is the other thing. Remember Google, how they helped to... They tried in 2016, that election, and they, of course, they didn't succeed then, but then they did again in 2020. Then it was Mark Zuckerberg that said, we have that clip, I made a compilation at the time of it, after the 2016 election, and Trump gets in, all the whole tech sector were like, in unison, we need to make sure that this never happens again. Never this guy elected. What, you know, and then 2020, rig in 2025 or 24 election. Now they can't, either they tried to rig or they can't, or they didn't stop it, or maybe they're already teamed up with Trump at that point. I'm not sure how, what happened first here, but regardless, now they're all like, oh, totally fine. Sundar Pichai from Google shows up, Bezos, Musk.
They're all trying to get in with him. Yeah, there you go. There's a good view of her outfit there. Can I just say she's 100% married for love, right? With Jeff Bezos. Had nothing to do with money whatsoever. Okay.
I think Bezos, he married for the roast beef sandwich. Trump's close and controversial friends with ex-owner Elon Musk is well known, but Musk wasn't the only tech chief at Monday's inauguration. Zuckerberg, who earlier in the month announced Meta was going to get rid of fact checkers and dramatically reduce the amount of censorship, he even tried to pivot and say that, like, oh, we didn't want to do the vax censorship stuff.
It was
the government, bro. Anyway, some Jew was
now,
there.
Because he was a,
some
he was
rabbi
a,
was there.
He was a true believer of all that stuff, too. So, why the turncoat, huh?
Yeah. With the keep on.
Yeah, you notice, too, during... I think we might play clips from that, though, in the inauguration. It's like, you know, they bring out the religious figures to say a prayer. And it's like, the rabbi first, the black preacher man, and then the white guy. You know, cucked Catholic at the very end.
Yep. It's all that symbolic, right? TikTok CEO was there. It was kind of weird with the TikTok. We'll see what happens there, right? But even they, the way they apparently the Trump crowd, if you will, on TikTok was big. It was big among younger generations and stuff like that. And it was just like, oh, Biden is, you know, they're moving ahead with the ban on TikTok, blah blah blah. They shut it down for, I think, one day, and then TikTok sends out a message in the app or email, whatever it was, for both. About how basically Trump saved the day by ensuring, like, extension of 90 days to make sure that the sale of TikTok goes through and to some kind of American, you know, interest gets control of it. But it was, what I'm saying is, an interesting one of those, like, almost a promotion. And I'm very surprised that the entire tech sector have switched from being hyper anti-Trump to very pro, right? And so you have to ask yourself what that's about. How are they seeking to use this? What's happening? Again, is it Trump using them, or is it them using Trump? I personally think it's
everyone's
them
trying
using
to use each other,
Trump.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
I mean, that's the nature of politics, though, too. I mean, it's
Tim Cook,
technically the highest office, right? So it's like, oh, well, we got to get in with the president.
Yep. Sam Altman, OpenAI, hyper dangerous. He was mentioned as one of the most influential, important Jews, I think, in a Jerusalem Post piece recently. Extremely dangerous, like, activist on behalf of Jewish interest and Israel overall. But it's okay, because Jake Paul was there. whoever that is. There they are talking with some Sam Altman there. Some video flying around out there where Jake Paul says he has some Jewish family members or something.
That's
anyway.
All right.
Anyway, so that's that. Who else was there? I don't know. Oh, Farage, of course. Oh, God. Cringe. Rogan, is she there? Yep.
Of course, yeah.
Jessica Dietzel, is she Jewish or not? I can never get that confirmed.
I don't know.
That's a grin on that one. Whoa. Murdoch, I guess, is that Murdoch? Yeah, that's Murdoch. And I tell you this: George W. Bush, he looked so out of he looked like a little boy.
He's
giddy.
He's on
little
drugs
boy.
Or something.
Yeah, it's just this like, whoa! Remember that guy? You know, like. When he was the big fascist, you know, like...
Look at Hillary.
Face
Clinton,
of America. Face
Hillary
of America,
there.
You know.
It's amazing they show up.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, sure, granted, what was it? We'll play it then just... I mean, we could play it now. It was kind of funny.
Because it's just politics in the end, right? That's the nature of the White House, right? They walk around and they smile, but then they stab each other in the back. Like, it's always been that.
Yeah, it's like celebrity culture, right? But the thing is, I'm trying to remember what the 2017 inauguration. I think it was far many more people of this old political establishment that snubbed Trump as opposed to now. Now, there were a couple. Jill Biden was there, but Joe Biden was not.
Well, they realized they couldn't beat him. So
that's what I think, right? But Michael Obama refused to be there, but Obama was there. And by the way, when they introduced him, it's funny because everyone got the honorable, you know, here's the honorable George W., but the honorable Clintons, blah, blah, blah.
Like it's royalty coming into some ball or something.
Yeah, here's your majesty, right, kind of thing. Anyway, so here's what happened, a little trip up here when Obama was introduced. This is interesting. Look at this.
Gentlemen, the 44th president of the United States, the honorable Barack H. Obama.
Not so honorable, huh?
Wait a minute. What happened there? The honor bro. Oh, the bro. No,
honor bro.
The 44th president of the United States. The honorable Barack H. Obama.
The honorable.
Honor bro.
He's a black presenter, too.
Yo, bro. But someone said Michelle was not there, and I tend to differ. What is this? Wait for it. That's Michael Obama right there. Prove me wrong, everybody. It's funny because they didn't actually introduce the... I'm not sure who that is.
Yeah, who is it? In, like, front of the... That's a bodyguard to take the first hit. If there's an assassination.
I don't think that...
That's the shield.
They wouldn't
the human
be
shield.
That... They wouldn't be that brave or bold.
Who is that? Yeah.
The chat? No, I was trying to find... And who because is that? It was very random. Sometimes they didn't introduce people,
that's
and sometimes
the token?
They did.
That's my African-American friend right there.
Gay Kenyan. Or is that Obama? Oh, Obama is a gay Kenyan, isn't he? Anyway, I don't know who it is, but anyway, that was kind of funny.
I don't think anyone knows who that was.
And look everybody. Who's our favorite that attended here? Yes.
Oh, my God.
The Black Jew Alliance here.
So he's got that evil grin going on there.
Walter
too.
Weeks, me and a new friend you might know. I'm not sure. I thought that was some... Anyway, it doesn't matter. No thanks. You know, I mean, remember when Ben Shapiro was anti-Trump?
Yeah, and he, yeah, exactly.
So many people. And it's just flipped.
I mean, if it was me and I became president, I'd be like, nope, anyone that was anti me the first time, I'm anti you forever then.
Mm-hmm.
End of story.
Yep. Yeah, Melania had an interesting outfit. The hat was so deep down, you could not see her eyes.
Oh, maybe she wanted to cover up her eyes. Shielded. Maybe she didn't get a lot of sleep or something.
I don't know. I mean, I know it was.
Is this funeral chic?
I know it was cold in D.C. It was like some Arctic, you know, what is it, blast? What do they call it? Anyway, but there are some photos here. A lot of people outside.
Everyone
still
talking about her outfit.
Yeah,
so is that.
It's just, you know, interesting. You see how low that is there, though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe she didn't want to look at these people.
Maybe not.
Just hide under her hat.
She seems maybe less thrilled about this. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there's probably.
Little boy George again. Obama, many of them rolled around, right? Here's Milley, of course. Did he convert yet to Judaism, or what was the deal with that?
Well, they claim he didn't, but he was banging his head on that wall pretty hard last week.
He was humping it?
So.
Was he humping that wall? I do respect the Confederate beanies coming out, though.
Yeah, like that.
That's all right. So anyway, they moved it, and here's the J.D. Vance's.
The half-Indian kids, yes.
Yep. Here's Biden. He did some of Biden... When they rolled up to the White House, I think it said something, welcome home or something, Biden. All right. Oh, that's some of the photos there. I guess we can look at, should we look at a couple of clips from the actual
thing? Let's do it.
Thing? Do you want to play the rabbi? Let's start with the rabbi.
Well, naturally.
We? Yes. Anyway, what do we got here? 136 or so. Let's go out there and see. So he was first. Yeah, this was a little religious ceremony attached to this.
He looks pretty good, though, right? Doesn't he? Like, he hasn't aged that much.
Trump?
Gotta give him that. Yeah, he looks pretty good.
He's aged a bit.
He's older.
He's a little more tired. I mean, and that's understandable, considering his age, as I said. All right, here we go. Here's the rabbi.
Senator Fisher.
He's still orange.
The Benediction clergy.
The Benediction clergy.
I now call on Rabbi Ari Berman. Pastor Lorenzo Sewell and Reverend Frank Mund to provide prayers of benediction.
And who do we begin with? The rabbi.
Yeah. The Jew, the black, and then the white man last.
Yep.
Let us pray.
You hear that? Oh, man.
No, It's ASMR.
Almighty God.
Rabbi ASMR, folks. Ugh.
Your prophet Jeremiah walked the streets of Jerusalem.
It's a lot of
and blessed its inhabitants with the Hebrew words, Baruch HaGever Hasheyiftach BaHashem.
Of course.
Blessed is the
language.
One
who trusts in God. Mm.
Well,
thousands of years later,
this rabbis and Jews did not build America. Okay, they were Johnnies come lately. Like, how can we make some money and subvert? You know, it's so irritating. Irritating.
I know the answer to that. that's what I mean. I know why they're pushed first. Yes. Okay.
Great nation which adopted these words as its motto, "In God We Trust." Stands at a moment of the...
Hopefully she's an anti-Semite. That's all I have to... He's like, what the who's this goddamn rabbi? That's what
historic
she's thinking.
Opportunity.
Oh, gosh. And out of one of these small hat wearing...
Americans. There's got to be someone in the crowd thinking this. I mean, right?
And then it's the obligatory yellow... My yellow ribbon for October 7th on his lapel.
Searching
there.
For meaning. Our merciful Father... Help us rise to meet this moment. Bless President Donald J. Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance with the strength and courage to choose the right and the good.
To stand
unite
up for Israel.
Us around our foundational biblical values of life and liberty, of service and sacrifice. And
I'm sorry, Biden is there. Okay, so I do apologize. Yeah, he was brought in separately from Jill in the introduction, and that's why I thought, oh, okay, he didn't show up, but there, obviously, he is right
he's
there.
He's sleeping. He doesn't know where he's at.
No, that's true.
He doesn't know what the hell's going on.
He's just like, bless this rabbi. Somewhere in there, it's bless
faith
the rabbi.
And morality, which George Washington called the indispensable supports of American prosperity. Guide.
Don't you love having a Jewish rabbi? I mean, there's no other type of rabbi, but kind of put words and ideas on like George Washington thought when he was like
George Washington,
you know,
where
they have to
the
found
white nationalist.
The nation, you know, yeah. Exactly.
Our schools and college campuses, which have been experiencing such unrest, to inspire the nation.
Let's make it about Palestinian protests.
Let's make it about anti-Semitism in Israel. I mean, come on. They can't open their mouth without spewing this crap.
No, of course not.
Generation to pair progress with purpose.
Just
knowledge with
interest.
That's what it
is.
It's become. America's become a
vehicle for their interest.
Placeholder for for other ethnic groups, you know, as they ravage the corpse, you know.
Them and truth with virtue. Hear the cry of the hostages, both American and Israeli, whose pain our president so acutely feels.
We're actually
listening. Are so thankful.
I want to hear what does he wheel out, and so I'm not surprised. Within a few minutes, it's Israel, it's October 7th, it's hostages. Let me just hear a couple more.
For the three young
women. He's not
going
to talk about anti-whitism on the college campuses and how disgusting that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday returned home and pray that the next 4 years brings peace to Israel and throughout the Middle East.
Well, they're going to start a war with Iran or some shit like that, and then they're going to drag whether Trump is in on that or not. They're going to. I've said that before. It's not that Trump is going to start a war with Iran. It's what. The people around him and people in Israel what they decide to play at that time,
and then they'll just call it peace, right? Oh no, we're just bringing peace.
Well, of course, that's how they view it.
Creating
peace,
war,
peace through strength, which means destroy the Amalek, and that's how we get exterminate the other enemy races. Then there's peace on earth, right? That's how they think.
Almighty God. Grant all Americans the opportunity to realize our shared dream of a life filled with peace and plenty, health. And
the Jews in Israel are definitely known for how to bring peace and sharing things.
Can't even share a little strip of land.
And happiness, compassion,
and
contribution.
And money.
Stir within us.
and gold.
The confidence to rise to this moment. For while we trust in God, God's trust is in us, the American people. America is called to great.
But why do you bring up October 7th then, which is an Israeli thing?
Yes, and like, yes.
You know.
To be a beacon of light and a mover of history.
Yeah, move Israel forward.
May our nation merit the fulfillment of Jeremiah's blessing. The like a tree planted by water, we shall not cease to bear fruit. May all of humanity experience your love and your blessing.
That's what they're known for.
May it be thy will, and let us say, Amen.
Not Amen, Amen. See? Big difference there.
Let us pray for our 47th president.
Heavenly
Father, we're so grateful.
Finally, let's get some Soul Brothers in here.
Yes.
There we go. That's
Drab. He's moving.
Rabbi.
He's positioning. He's getting ready to do some preaching.
Ready. Here we go. All right.
Grateful that you gave our 45th and now our 47th president a millimeter miracle. We are grateful.
That's why the blacks love him.
You are the one that have called
he
him.
He was capped like 50 cent, yo.
For such a time as this. That America would begin
to
dream
say
again.
Something?
We pray that we would fulfill the true meaning of our creed. That we hold.
He's
going to
channel some MLK right now.
Yep.
Do you notice they all have their ethnic interests here, except for the Catholic
except for the
cuck
white
at the
guy.
End.
Yep, exactly. Yep, that's it.
All men are created equal. We pray that you use our president. That we would live in a nation. Well, we will not be judged by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character.
Well, that's what we doing, bro.
Exactly.
That's what we
that's
doing.
It. Bang, bang.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we are so grateful today that you will use our 47th president so we would sing with new meaning, my country, tis of thee.
Sweet. It's just a big act. It's just
it's a big show.
Squeeze some some showmanship out of this and connected
and
with
religion. And they're always stealing
somehow.
MLK stuff. You know, they can never come up with anything. And MLK didn't
and who
even
wrote
write that.
That. Exactly.
Yeah, some Jewish.
Yeah.
The land of liberty of thee I seen.
Of the
land where my fathers died. Land of the pilgrims' pride from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and because America is called to be a great nation,
what a shit show,
we
man.
Believe that
Preacher
you will make
Camacho,
this come
right.
true.
He looks like it. Yeah, good one.
Camacho,
natural
so
lawyer.
Let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains
New Hampshire
of New York.
All the white people.
All right, here's the ooga booga. We have entered the ooga booga face.
Come on.
Let freedom ring from the heightening Allegheny's
this whole
of Pennsylvania.
Performance. Look at this.
Let freedom ring.
Even the cameraman is like a panning up there when he's doing the hand move. There.
From the snow-capped Rockies
these
of
blacks
Colorado.
Think they're still like in chains, like they're still slaves, and there's some white person who's whipping them, like in their mind.
Yeah, I mean, if you got to work at McDonald's, and that's slavery. No one has to work to
pay
work
their
bills.
You got to work to buy food.
Yeah.
It's slavery.
Let freedom ring from the curvaceous hilltops of California. But God, we're asking you not only that. Let freedom ring from Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Oh, my God.
Let freedom ring from...
There's no one is like, this is so cringe and
it's
put on. There's so many white people
that
are like, this is, that was great.
I mean, there's some people that are just going to be like, this is annoying. This is a performance.
It's a Dunning-Kruger thing, right? Where whites, many whites, not all, of course, but many whites are still kind of fooled by this, like... If you just kind of turn up the dial, just increase the volume essentially on it, then it's like, oh, wow, that's, whoa, he knows, he's really into it. He must have something special going on for him here. So, wow, that's, and whites are kind of toned down and like that you don't.
You'll
don't,
see the Catholic
do stuff
last.
Like that. You know
look
what
out
mean?
In Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and every molehill in Mississippi, from every state.
Make it stop.
Have you had enough?
Yeah, he's just escalating and escalating.
In contrast.
Escalating.
Okay. That was Trump's African American over there.
Yeah,
he does look very white. I mean, look at the faces there. It's white people. It's white people, and then still they can't, like, he couldn't even address them, right? Also thanks to all the white Americans
out there who voted. It's so little.
Can you? Oh my God! What would the media, who are applauding your assassination,
white
say?
White people would be happy for that.
Yeah. Look at J.D. Vance. He's like, oh, brother.
That was so awesome, man. That was great, bro. I loved it, man.
Jeff Bezos.
That was really moving.
Yeah. And the blacks were like, see how the whites are laughing at him? Okay.
Almighty and eternal God.
And that's like,
we gather here today in reverence.
Right.
Joined in our shared hopes and dreams for our beloved nation.
Biden, he stood like that for like three hours.
In this sacred moment of the inauguration of President Donald.
It's funny, the black guy didn't know what direction to go there at the end. Look at that, he was walking
out. Beloved
Camacho
nation.
In the background.
In this sacred moment left, of the inauguration right, of President shoot. Donald J. Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance, we turn our hearts to you, seeking your divine assistance and abundant blessings upon this pivotal moment in history. We come before you with profound gratitude for the many gifts you have bestowed upon our land. Thank you for the freedoms we cherish, for the strength of our community.
It's the white nerdy guy last. You know, kind of the last in line. And by that time, everyone's fallen asleep, you know, kind of thing. All right.
And if you haven't, you will when you listen to this guy. Man.
Can we get some, like, let's save the stock of those who founded this country, or, you know, so like get something in it.
Let's get a balut going, all right?
Yeah, there we go. All right, so what else do we have here? Okay, so one interesting thing is he did not place his hand on the Bible during the inauguration.
Well, they claimed that Melania was late, or the books were late to, you know, she was late to bring it out or something. I'm like, wait, what? That doesn't even make sense, because she's standing there now, right?
Mm-hmm. So he can just put it on there at any time, but he didn't. Even the New York Post had a piece about this.
And I don't think he would be late about something like that when this is so highly organized, right?
Yeah, Trump did not place hand on Bible for oath of office during his inauguration.
There's two books.
And so some people are, yeah, so it's the family Bible, and then it's the Lincoln Bible, because that's another saint they have to celebrate, right? Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't he like one of the worst presidents in American history? Like,
at least he was
in terms of how
realist,
he treated the Southerners and all that. Even Jerry Taylor, so I forget what it was, but it was some song he was reacting to that were like, were the glorifying killing Southerners, some Yankee
tune.
Yeah,
well, of course,
you know?
That's always the bad thing right there, of course.
So Trump did not place his hand on a stack of two Bibles held by First Lady Melania Trump as he was sworn into office Monday. Instead, Trump stood with his left arm down by his side as he raised his right hand for the oath of office. But there it is, right? It's right there. So if you wanted to, you could put it on there. Trump used both a family Bible and the so-called Lincoln Bible, which was sworn on by the 16th president in 1861, as well as Barack Obama. But they don't say, well, okay, but why? All right. Okay, well, I guess you don't have to. I'm not sure. Is there some symbolism in that? It's, so, yeah, people were, like, doing all kinds of, you know,
I mean,
looking at that. He held his hands like this, and look at her hat. It's really Saturn.
Isn't he?
And, like, you know, it's, I'm like, I'm doing less of the schizo stuff when it comes to, like, there's, you know, there's more. If you have an interest of, like, preserving and helping to save our people and our race and our folk, the stuff like this kind of fall to the wayside. Like, you know, get interested in something that really matters, and then you step away from some of that for a little bit. Is there some of that? Maybe. I don't know. Go ahead.
I think, too, like, he's a cultural Christian. He's like, yeah, do I really believe that's going to make a difference, swearing on the Bible? You know, he's
but
not,
there's
like,
so
really
many Christians that support him, though, and that this is an important thing, and you think he kind of would play on that, or...
I have to ask him.
Let's bring a Trump Bible then. The one he did. Remember he sold the Bibles for a while? Trump's Bible? Put your hand on that or something. I don't know. Anyway, we don't have to play this. This is just when they rolled up to the White House here. Welcome home, President Biden was heard saying here, I guess. Or should we play it? You want to see it? Can't really hear anything now. Move the truck. Move the truck.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. I can't hear anything. It's too windy. They didn't have any mics there. All right, anyway,
unless Biden said, "I'm going home," or "Where's my home?"
I'm going home.
That's what he said.
I'm going home, everybody. So apparently they've left D.C. now. But yeah, look at Melania there, head down. I mean, it's cold. I get that, but
it's cold, and I don't think she's one who likes like all this kind of activity
attention.
And commotion and yeah. attention. And
is like, she the mom of Barron? Is that
yeah?
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think
she's always worried that they might get shot on top of it.
Yeah. So. Well, they seem to have had the security on lockdown or whatever. So here's some of the things that they kind of are thrown out, right?
It's crazy that this has to be done, but this is
it's a low bar. It's a very low bar, but yeah, President Trump, two genders only, and then of course TMZ press subtitle for that is targets transgender protections.
Yeah.
He declared that the United States government will only recognize two genders, and even that's technically wrong. It should be two sexes, right? That there's two
biological sexes.
Yeah, that's
yes.
it. Gender is a Jewish trick. It's just that's a domain of like Hirschfeld and these people who are like operating in Weimar times, essentially. And he's set to target federal protections for transgender people. Well, that's a win. I'll take that if we can get that. It's like, but you know, he's not going to do. No one's going to be targeted for anything here. I mean, this is just ridiculous. But this is what they do, right? They upplay this, and it's like, oh my God, he's going to do these things. It's going to be horrible for and it's the same thing. Was it the Rachel Maddow here going off? Lana on the,
Trump, yeah,
all the crazy
they're talking
things
about his plan to sign an executive order ending birthright citizenship, and she's very disappointed by this. It's such an important thing for her.
Okay, listen.
Sign dozens of executive orders and executive actions about energy and the border and discriminating against transgender people and making it easier to fire federal workers and
not
stopping the ban on TikTok,
room.
Even though that ban is actually law and executive orders can't supersede the law. Former House Speaker John Boehner, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, his wife Ambassador Gingrich, excuse me. Trump's aides have also said that Trump will sign some sort of executive action or order today to stop birthright citizenship.
Ooh.
Now, birthright citizenship is the core American precept that says if you're born here,
it's not a core value.
If you're born on American soil, you're a U.S. citizen. That is a provision that is explicitly in the Constitution in the plain language.
No. Okay.
All right. Do you want to unravel
this? So, birthright citizenship, they're talking about the 14th Amendment, but birthright citizenship for illegals never existed in the Constitution. Children of illegal aliens weren't under the jurisdiction of the U.S., but of the country their parents came from. I'll kind of unravel this a little bit. 14th Amendment, all persons born or naturalized in the U.S. and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the U.S. and the state wherein they reside. Okay, that's what they're going based on. Now, this is language from a long time ago. Obviously, they weren't thinking of like, you know, Mexicans crossing the border and having tons of babies and making them legal. So the anti-whites like to point to this 1898 Supreme Court ruling, and this was the U.S. versus Wong Kim Ark, who was Chinese. Now, the courts misconstrued what the writers, obviously, of the 14th Amendment intended with this phrase, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, and that the amendment's framers understood that the kids of illegals, like their parents, owed their loyalty to a nation that wasn't the U.S. Thus, they weren't under the jurisdiction of the U.S. Now, anti-whites using this precedent of this Wong Kim case are saying that there was, I just want to remind you back then, we're talking 1898. Now, there were strict limits placed on the number of Chinese coming to America as laborers. They did not get automatic citizenship. So the mother and father of Wong Kim Ark continued to reside. They remained in the U.S. until the year 1890 when they departed for China. And they said, because the said Wong Kim Ark, although born in the city and country of San Francisco, is not under the laws of the state of California in the U.S., a citizen thereof. The mother and father of the said Wong Kim Ark, I'm taking this from the case, being Chinese persons and subject of the Emperor of China. And said Wong Kim Ark being also a Chinese person and a subject of the Emperor of China. Mm-hmm. So he's not entitled to land in the U.S. or to be or remain therein because he does not belong to any of the privileged classes. This was the argument, right? And any of the acts of Congress known as the Chinese Exclusion Acts, which was 1882. Now, the Chinese Exclusion Act prohibited all immigration of Chinese laborers for 10 years. The law made exceptions for like merchants, teachers, you know, travelers, diplomats. And the law was renewed until 1902. And of course, you know, there were people that were here that evaded that. But it wasn't until the Magnuson Act of 1943, when some, now this was the one of the only like ethnic groups other than blacks, but that's a other issue, when some Chinese were naturalized, but they still couldn't own property. So back in the day, they viewed, you know, if non-whites came, it was very strict, very limited amount, because remember, we had a national origins formula. That's what we need to return back to. This quota was determined according to the National Origins Formula prescribed by the Immigration Act of 1924 that prohibited immigration or set quotas from certain countries in order to preserve the demographics, right? So there was Asians, forget about, they didn't want Asians coming over and being citizens. They just wanted them to be laborers. And then they even restricted immigration coming from Southern Europe and Eastern Europe, because there was a lot of Jews that were living in Eastern Europe. I mean, it was strict immigration policies and quotas based on race. Okay, that was the mentality of the people who were writing the 14th Amendment. Okay,
so the Johnson Reed Act.
Yeah, there's several
part
acts.
Of it, right? Yeah.
I mean, we can even go back to, let's enforce the 1790 Naturalization Act, signed into law March 1790, and the bill provided that any alien being a free white person who had resided within the U.S. for 2 years could file a petition for naturalization in any common law court located in the state which they had resided for at least 1 year. That alien being a free white person, not just any white person, but a white person of good character. Okay, so back then, when this was written, they never, ever considered what is happening today. No way in hell was that in their mind, thinking, okay, two illegals come and they make illegal. I mean, even the few Chinese that were here, they wouldn't even let them own property. They didn't even consider their kids to be citizens. They didn't even want them to be naturalized. It wasn't really until the 1965 Immigration Act where everything changed. There was attempts being made, you know, of course, we can mention various Jewish groups like Hias, which was very active, trying to bring in Eastern Europeans, which was Jews, trying to fight to bring them into the country. But eventually it was the Hart-Celler Act that was like the final just blow in America to just open up the doors and let everyone in. And now we're hearing all this propaganda about the 14th Amendment. It was never intended to see what we're seeing today. All these illegals come and then boop, they can have a kid and then they're not. No, that's not what the 14th Amendment is about. And I think they should add a clause to clarify that for modern day times, because we're in such a mess that we're in.
Well, you could travel much faster. There's like people are interchangeable, like some units in some, you know, commerce system now. And it's very different today than back then. But yeah, what was it? Albert Ballin and Jacob Schiff. That was one of the first kind of industrialists, Jewish industrialists, that helped to lobby for more Jewish immigrants to come in. I think this is before the, it's like late 1800s, early 1900s, I think.
They tried. There was attempts, and they were not really getting anywhere.
Maybe it was early 1900s, actually. But anyway, the point is that led to them doing the Johnson Reed Act, which was then basically like, oh shit, like we got to preserve our ethnic roots and our stock here, essentially. And they wanted like to stop what was happening even at that time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the activism began with those Jews that have been let in already.
Yeah.
And that helped to lead to things like the Hart-Celler Act in 1965, finally, which, you know, put that nail in the coffin of like a white America, essentially.
Exactly.
Disproportionate Jewish activism.
So, you cannot use the 14th Amendment for that. No, it's being misused and misconstrued.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what he does with this. He better have an executive order to end this, because this has been a catastrophe for America.
Well, yeah, of course. Exactly. And here's a map you can see there, too. At least what they used to have. This is not entirely true either now, because, of course, it's not by blood countries that are in the red there now that you see. It says, what offers citizenship, land or blood? And in the red areas, they claim it's blood. In the blue, it's land, meaning, which is insane in terms of the blue. You can just walk over there, plop one out, and then that makes them immediately a citizen. That's ridiculous. However, what's different if you are a migrant, you come to Germany, and, you meet another ethnic, whatever you are, immigrant from Iraq or Afghanistan or Syria or something like that there, and you have a kid, and now they're German, right? Which is, then it's not by blood, but that's what they're claiming. It's not by blood still. It's still by just like you showing up recently.
The founders, our founding fathers, whether it's Europe or America, never envisioned that. No. Period, the end of story.
And that's what we need to get that back. Yeah. We need to get our lands back.
Yeah, if we're talking about, things from the 1800s and 1700s, then let's enforce the, like I say, 1790 Naturalization Act, okay? Any alien being a free white person of good character, okay? Let's go back to that then.
So this is what you get with, a Rachel Maddow, and it plays into this that I mentioned a little bit before, right? They go hysterical and they scream at shit with probably, at best it will happen if they end birthright citizenship. Okay, like, obviously, great. I'm going to signal against any of that, obviously. But I'm saying they scream about a lot of stuff and then it doesn't happen. It doesn't come into fruition, but it kind of serves to mobilize the leftist base. And as I said before, I think this is, they're going to regroup. And I think even the tech sector here that we talked about earlier is part of how the establishment seeks to realign what they once saw as an enemy in Donald Trump and say, oh, well, we'll work with him now. We'll schmooze him. We'll steer it. And we become more influential in helping to shape, how the administration turns, what direction it turns and things like this. But you'll see some of these leftists continue to shriek because it will mobilize them and they might go into hibernation for a while. But they will be back. I mean, this is not like it's over. Or
they're just
like
regrouping.
Regrouping, but this is what they do. And so someone made a meme where they're like, oh my God, it's fascism. You're going to lose all your, I'm going to lose all my rights and stuff like that. Yes. Stop imagining fake scenarios and hurting your own feelings. Cause that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. It's just like them, nothing, like it's not going to get worse for you in any kind of capacity. Now, the reason, of course, why Maddow is against stopping birthright citizenship is because she agrees with white people becoming a minority in America.
They want that, right?
They want those things to occur.
She's sick.
The other guy was this Guy Verhofstadt here. Look at this. America, as a liberal empire, is no more. Welcome to a new era of U.S. governance by oligarchy, where billionaire members of Mar-a-Lago decides U.S. policy. And guess what? Protecting the European Union or the living standards of Europeans is not on their priority. First of all, why would that be on their priority list? It's so bizarre. These drunkards in the EU, and do not mistake the European Union for Europe, by the way, and I know most of you watching don't, kind of thing, right? They don't care about post-1945 Europe. Well, good. Let that Europe, we don't want either, okay?
And also, that's a dumb comment that Trump cares more about the living standards of Europeans isn't on their priority list. Trump doesn't even address the Europeans in America.
No, exactly.
He's not even thinking about Europe, okay? Or European Union or any of that.
But this is more that who will, these are far, far away things that mean nothing to them. Who will defend Europe? Well, presumably European countries will defend Europe. It's so, in a weird way, He's giving it away, right? He's giving away the disastrous policy of things like the Marshall Plans and how these post-World War II liberal/Jewish interest in America helped to control and steer European countries, right? Yeah. A lot of these countries have been America's bitch for the longest time. And yes, it's, partly because of NATO, but hey, anybody who wants to go into the history here and look at things like the Stay Behind armies and, there's so much here, right? Of CIA, gay ops, of them assassinating European leaders that they didn't see fit. And I understand of like this, maybe at a time it was some like, oh, well, we got to stop, kind of like a radical communism or whatever. But if they understood and had a sincerity about that, they probably shouldn't have teamed up with the Soviet Union and fought Germany at the time. But whatever, it is what it is now. You can, what if all day long, it doesn't matter. But it's like this, the point is these kinds of lunatics will keep like mouthing off that somehow this will be disastrous
for them. Last time too.
This is the thing. Not much will come of it, to be honest. I mean, they're freaking themselves out and whatever. I made a tweet. This is Guy Verhofstadt here, right? And then the cum went all over my face like this. Whoosh. That's him. That's him right there. He's a, excuse the term here, he's a gay faggot, okay? That's what he is. That's Guy Verhofstadt in its essence. These are the kinds of Europeans that are the worst representatives. It's him and remember Juncker, the drunkard, that guy, Ursula von der Leyen. Like, all of them need to just go. Like, yes. All of them need to be deposed and sent back into the closets or whatever they came from. And actually let real Europeans take control again. Not of the EU. That needs to be dismantled. It's never going to be I never think you can reform that. I'm not against European cooperation, obviously, right, of European
countries.
But
that's not what the European
Union is. They call it European integration, which means the disintegration or the... If they're talking about European integration, that means disintegration of the nation state in order to homogenize everything. And that includes, by the way, not just European nations. Now it's Africa, right? Africans, it's Asians. It's this kalergi mutt plan that they have for Europeans, essentially. No, these guys need to be deposed and thrown off. He got a lot of counter signaling in the comments too, so that was good, I guess. Okay, so should we talk about the J6
on the J6 thing? What's he going to do? Let's play the clip.
Okay.
I was going to talk about the J6 hostages, but you'll be happy because, you know, it's action, not words that count.
Yes.
And you're going to see a lot of action on the J6 hostages. See a lot of action. I was going
to talk
about...
All right, well, let's bookmark it and remember J6. It. Let's hold them to it, huh? And see what they actually do. They should all be released. I understand this kind of for the sake of... what do we call it? Optics. Like, oh, you need to look at individual cases, and maybe there was some dumbass there that did some dumb violent thing that he shouldn't have done, and should they be part? I mean, overall, though, they were there on in good faith, I think, right? Most people that were there, they were there in good faith. They thought, I mean, the way leftists think that they're defending democracy when they come out and burn shit down like they did after the first inauguration in D.C., remember all that shit that happened? The violence and the riots and just the endless, like, Soros-sponsored gay ops and stuff like that. That was fine, you see. And then all these, you know, again, Soros had to bring up, but it was like, that's still a huge problem, right? All these district attorneys, like, funded by Soros or whatever, put there by Soros and them helping them with his funds or whatever. How many of those did they let go of, the rioters and stuff like that? I mean, countless cases of Antifa leftists that were let go. So just because of that's how they acted, yeah, he should pardon all of them. Every single, it doesn't matter what they did or how they did it or for what reason. Pardon all of them. That's what he should do. But we'll see what happens, right? Well, ideally, that's what happens, but we'll see. Excuse me.
Yeah, this is
okay.
Good
so this is very good. We'll take this as well, of course. Go ahead.
Yeah, the CBP One Cell Phone app. I don't know. He's saying parole program. I don't know about that. I went to the site. Sorry, my voice is going away.
You're doing fine. Go ahead.
A CBP One is a mobile app that grants you access to a variety of services provided by U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Basically, it's an easy way for a bunch of invaders to get in. They just click on this app and like, oh, I'm going to file my application and then I'm just going to walk in the country and just like start getting the gibs and all that. So this was canceled and a lot of people had interviews that were also canceled. So their recent update was effective January 20th. The functionalities of CBP One that previously allowed undocumented aliens to submit advance info and schedule appointments at 8 Southwest border points of Metro is no longer available, and existing appointments have been canceled.
Good. Good. We'll take it. Where's the clip of them crying? Oh, here it is, right? Migrants in Chitura Juarez who are waiting for their 1 p.m. CBP One parole appointments learned 20 minutes ago that the app has been shut down and those appointments are no longer valid.
What do they mean, parole appointments? I mean, that's usually what you say when they're like, they've committed crimes. And
take
like,
out the cameras, right? And it's this, we're so, what is it called again? How do we put it? Your universal right to have access and live close to white people have unfortunately been canceled, you know?
Oh, the racism. Oh, well, great, gosh. Then don't come in, right? We're so racist and so awful. Ooh.
I couldn't wait to be suppressed by white people, white supremacy.
Doing this just for the clicks.
It's that one person crying, 3,000 cameras.
Yes, right? Exactly.
Wall to wall, every news outlet covering
racism.
This. You know,
well, guess what? We can't just go live anywhere we want to live because we want to live there. That's how the world works, okay?
Well, I mean, she wanted to come to strengthen America. The upside is now she can go strengthen her own country. Yeah. Because it's diversity and immigrants that make America strong and great, you see. Is that the lie? So now you can go strengthen your own country.
Yeah, stay home.
Stay home. Yeah,
because this is good. I mean, she might even be pregnant. She was just hoping to, like, go over. Blop, she's like, out. Dang, they canceled the appointment and birthright citizenship is ending.
Yep. Well, it's not the problems of America.
Like, no, what are you, not our problem. America is full. Go home.
Yeah, and in fact, it's so full that there needs to be a mass deportation, you know, campaign that initiates.
That's what our military should be used for. Our military, our law enforcement, like this. Apparently, this is the El Paso border today. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is what I want to see. I want to see military. I want to see SWAT. I want to see some badasses protecting the borders, keeping invaders out, mass deportations. That's what Americans want to see.
Yeah, we'll see if Tom Homan, if he sticks to it, right? He was mentioning that he was going to get to work right away. You know, 7 a.m. Monday morning, lasers, pew, 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 in deporting illegal aliens, right? And specifically criminal illegal aliens. It makes sense. You start at that end, right? Kind
of thing. I thought you're a criminal by default if you're illegal.
Well, of course you are, right? But, like, you know, sure, start that. It was something, there were some rumors of, like, they're all going to go into places in Chicago and, you know, they know where some of these people are, apparently, or something, and just, you know, deport them or whatever. And, yeah, it's going to be a shit show, but, like, I mean, if we're, you know, on the upside, I'd be surprised if they deport 30,000-40,000 people. I'd be very surprised if they do that. But there is something we don't even know. But there's something like anywhere from 25 to 35 million illegals.
Yeah,
in
what
the
happens
US
is, you know,
something?
They scatter, you know, la cucaracha, like cockroaches, and you won't be able to find them all so easy. Yeah. And I'm sure they're scattering right now. They're going to be trying to hide.
And,
they've
course,
got their networks.
Yeah, they'll
you know,
be protected
so
in certain states, certain cities.
So this will be interesting to see how
if they get to work on this, which I hope they do, you'll see. But yeah, police
Papers,
have now shut
please.
Down. Yes, exactly. Papieren bitte. Police has now shut down the port of entry in El Paso, Texas, as President Trump reinstates the Remain in Mexico policy. So this is what it sounded like.
Beyond this point, the result in the arrest, prosecution, and possible application of force. Advertencia. Esta es una área restringida federal. Fuera de los límites de personal.
Sure, you just say it in English.
No autorizado. La entrada o el movimiento no autorizado más allá de este punto dará lugar a la detención, al procesamiento y la aplicación posible de la fuerza. First personnel.
So, America's full. We don't want you. We don't need you. Go home.
Unauthorized entry or movement beyond this point will result in the arrest.
All right. So this should have happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, decades ago.
Again, I'll take it, right? Obviously, I'm not going to say this shouldn't happen, but I'm saying this is so late and it's so little, you know what I mean, in terms of what the scope of what needs to be done to clean up this mess of decades.
Yes.
Of illegals and corruption and also that's the other thing, by the way. Don't just deport the illegals. Like if they are serious about that and if they actually will start doing stuff like that, start targeting the organizations that have helped them, that produces maps, that have fed them, that
it's
have housed them, go after all of them. Right? And if you don't do that, they will just do it again when the next administration comes in and it's an AOC or a James or John Stewart Leibowitz, who's like the president or whoever they're going to run in 2028 on the Democrat side. Or maybe it's a Republican that comes in and says, we're going to go back to that again because it was so great. You know, all of that could happen, essentially. But anyway, so they're crying and all that stuff, right? So that's one good thing. People are making joke about this. First, I was like, I wouldn't be surprised, right? You see the Israeli flag in the background. But that's basically it. 4 years on Inauguration Day. Every 4 years on Inauguration Day, we Americans get to celebrate the peaceful transfer of power from Israel to Israel.
Yeah. I know. It's nauseating.
So how bad is it going to get with the Israel shit, right? That's the big, one of the big, big questions. I mean, it's so bad. Even the Hodge twins, even I brought them up a couple of times now, but like, even Lady Maga is like,
I know, what the heck? Talking about this shit. Like, yeah.
It's like, yeah, I forget what it tweeted about, but it was like, you know, okay, we need, well, no, what was it?
I mean, it's so in your face gay now. How can you not? Like, how can you not see it?
Why? There's a dude up there talking about it. So first I thought they meant Trump, but it was the rabbi speaking about, you know, October 7th and all that stuff, right? But yeah, Miriam Adelson is right there featured with, you know, right behind presidents, basically. But I believe in front of them was even the tech. Oh, wait, it was in the other stand, right, on the other side. But the whole tech sector was in the front row, by the way. And that's a big giveaway, and that's that means bad things. So we'll see what they can do. Here, we don't have to play this, but it's just funny. All of this will be real on Monday. One of these like 80s bikinis, you know, kind of like compilations and like.
This is going to be what California and every American beach looks like starting like, today.
Not unless you have an explicit policy of like making America white again.
Yeah.
I mean, let's play a little bit of it so you get an idea, right?
I can't let go when your lips feel.
And it's like, yeah, these are like Hollywood, gay Hollywood movies written by Jews, right? But you, like, okay, you need to make it white again if you want to get back to what America was, how it was founded and what it was built on. You need to make America white again. Is that going to come up? I don't think so, because Trump at this point can't even address white people. So that's not going to happen. I know they're kind of shit posting and having fun with this. I get it. I'm not trying to be a retard about this, but you know what I mean? It's like, oh, the 80s, are you shitty? Like, the 80s was already down. It was good, and you can get nostalgic about it, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying the only reason for that is because it's close enough to an era and a time when it was in white enough that you hadn't noticed this shit yet. Mm. But it was already on the path towards ruin.
And there wasn't inflation. It was a good time. People could still make money. There was nice white neighborhoods. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can kind of live in a bubble for a while there.
Well, and it's also this, like, you can kind of, it's also kind of what made America a little complacent, too, at the same time, right?
That took decades.
It's not that you can't have, enjoy things a little bit. I'm not against that, and it's not that you have to suffer all the time. But there is such a thing as, like, you know, eternal vigilance. And when you get distracted and comfortable and complacent, someone else is going to swoop in and they're going to let you like undermine you. They're going to undercut you. They're going to try to take your shit. They're going to try to subvert your kids and convert your women against you.
The entertainment industry, taking over the entertainment industry was like basically all
huge,
they had to do.
Yeah. but at the end of the day, it's because whites are not. Well, we were, at one point we were ethnocentric, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't have put stuff like that, like they did in the
1924. We were still talking about white demographics,
right? But you know, for the most part, at this point, whites are more, you know, universal, and we're thinking about everyone else first and whatever. And look at what that has gotten us. Mm-hmm. Look at where we are as a consequence of that now. Going back to the 80s, no, it's not going to do it. The other worrying issue here, of course, is things like this, and this could be one of the. Oh, we'll see. We'll go a little bit longer, maybe. We'll see what we can squeeze in at the end. But Project Esther, we'll see what they do with us, right? A national strategy to combat anti-Semitism. Now, of course, this is not official Trump policy, but there were some interesting things when it comes to the Heritage Foundation, which had that Project 2025, and Trump was denying it. They were counter-signaling it to say, we're not doing that. We don't know who it is, blah, blah, blah. But then it turns out, of course, the administration was tapping the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 on their huge database of people that were potential candidates within his administration. So there is a tie there.
Now, have you looked at the strategy? Did you see some of the points?
So I can read a little bit to you from the summary in the actual document
like,
for it.
What's new? Something they want to try new things, I assume, right? Things that they haven't done yet.
Yeah, and it's interesting, of course, that they're basing this on Esther. They bring that up in the beginning of like who that was, right? Oh, in the Torah, the book of Esther tells us that in the mid-4th century BCE, a thriving Jewish community in ancient Persia risked extermination. Haman, Persian king Ahasuerus, prime minister, vizier, angry because Mordecai, a Jew, refused to bow to him, told the king, blah, blah, they go on about this and that. And eventually, and I think, by the way, Ahasuerus, that's like actually Xerxes, I think, but they used their Hebrew name for Xerxes, that his wife was Queen Esther, a Jew, you know, and then he didn't want that, and so he spared the Jews and all that stuff. But if you actually go to some of the sources, by the way, surprise, 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 The only one that mentions this story is the stories that Jews wrote down about it. It was very, there's little to no, I think there's no evidence that Persian royalty at the time ever married outside of Persian royalty and Persian aristocrats. So for him just to show up with a Jewish wife one day is probably a fairy tale. I don't know, but anyway. That's yes. just a history thing.
I
but
think it's a fair
that's just what the kind of how they do shit. Like, oh my God, this totally happened. It is interesting though. Remember, Xerxes, and I think this is Xerxes the First, is also by the way, the guy who went to war with the Greeks, where the 300 thing comes
yeah,
from.
Yeah, don't they show him as like some weird monster in that too?
Yeah,
Xerxes?
Exactly. Yeah,
but like the this weird Battle kind of Thermopylae, gender right? bending weird
yeah.
man.
Yep.
Thing.
But it is interesting though that whole dynamic of like. Oh, he spared the Jews. Oh, excuse me. He spared the Jews, but then he went to war with the Greeks. You know, kind of thing. Like that dynamic of that time, and of course Leonidas and the 300 there.
Because Esther convinced him, right? That's how the story goes. She convinced him to save the Jews, right?
Oh, sure. But I mean, nothing is unrelated.
Hid herself. He didn't know that she was Jewish, right? That's how the story goes. And she told him later that she was Jewish.
Right, but regardless, it was obviously because of her influence that the Jews were
yes.
spared.
Yes,
right?
That's so, what I mean. Yeah. Yes.
But I'm not saying that then she told him to go to war with the Greeks. Those are, nothing is unrelated, but those things are not directly related. I'm just saying for historical, you know, to put that on the timeline of what was going on in the ancient world at that time, you know a little bit more about, if you know about the battle at Thermopylae in Greece. But anyway... executive summary. Let's read it. Purpose. Named after the historic Jewish heroine who saved the Jews from genocide in ancient Persia. Project Esther provides a blueprint to counter anti-Semitism.
So Jews marrying into wealthy goy families.
in the United States to ensure the security and prosperity of all Americans. Okay, so you're switching from going from mer ethnic interest to, well, you see, this is about the security of all of you. Oh, is it now? Anti-Semitism in the United States of America is alive and spreading. Hamas's October 7th, 2023 attack in Israel. Like, what does this have to do with America, right? Laid bare existing anti-Semitism across the world, including the United States. Well, maybe that's because you've been bombing women and children in Gaza ever since. And, like, doing an actual genocide that's televised. I don't know. Call me crazy, but maybe that has something to do with it. The virulent anti-Israel, anti-Zionist, and anti-American groups comprising the so-called... Look, I don't like these protests either. If they have an issue with this, go over there and fight. These are desert Middle Eastern conflicts, Semitic squabbles. Go have them there. But it's interesting that like an American conservative movement makes it about this, mm-hmm. right? But the movement, they claim that inside the United States are exclusively pro-Palestinian and more so pro-Hamas. They are part of a highly organized Global Hamas Support Network, HSN. They use that abbreviation throughout the document, consequently, of course. It's funny, though, because, like, yeah, because the Jewish lobby is not a thing. I'm not trying to do, like, whataboutism here, but the fact that one of the most excuse me, I'm so angry, I'm hitting my mic now. But one of the most powerful foreign lobby groups in the United States, and you can argue even many other Western countries, right? Many other European countries. Somehow is like trying to claim that like Hamas have some huge like organizing capabilities
in the United States
and the West and in Europe and stuff like that.
Or if you're against Israel just killing people, then you're pro Hamas.
Well, that's the pivot. That's the pivot too, right? That's
you support
blame.
Terrorism.
If you're pro Palestinian, you're pro terror. Exactly.
Like, Israel's doing that. You're the terrorists.
Granted, I will say this. Yes, it's more likely maybe today that you would have some kind of Islamic network in Western countries.
Considering how many
Hamas,
Muslims are in our
considering
countries, yeah.
How much many of these Jewish activists have rallied and supported and lobbied and, you know, organized in order to get our countries to open our borders and our politicians and the media and all that stuff, right? But we don't have to relitigate that now. We talk about that all the time on the show and talk about the disproportionate influence that Jewish activists have on the immigration movement all throughout the West. And so now they're pissed off that they brought in many of these rabbis to call Islam or Muslims the broom of Israel. because they have this old, long-standing vengeance plan against Esau or Edom, which is basically the West or the white man, or what they for a while at least consider to be Christendom. And so they have this age, you know, millennia-old gripe against us. And part of that, many of them have said, we have their clips, we have their receipts of saying, yeah, we're going to bring in the Muslims. They're going to do the job for us. They're going to mix. They're going to race mix with these Arabs and stuff, and that's going to be a great time for us. That's what they've said, right? So if you have a problem with any of this, with these migrant groups or whatever, take it up with these Jewish activists. If you have a problem with anything that they're seeing, the Hamas support network, or even if that's a thing, take it up with the Jewish activists that have enabled a lot of this too. Yeah. In fact, there's even some, right? There's even some old rumors, remember, way in the past, that Hamas was essentially an Israeli op in order to destabilize like Yasser Arafat's movement at the time and things like that. This is normally what they do. They invent something even more extreme. You can see similar patterns with like an ISIS, for example, right? We have they invent or create or fund a radical movement in order to topple someone they see as an enemy. And then eventually or not, those dislodge or they become their own thing, or they go rogue or something like that, right? But it ends up biting them in the ass. And then, oh, look at what it's like. Well, if you wouldn't have meddled to begin with, this wouldn't have been an issue for you. Current situation. The HSN's strategic purpose inside the United States is to generate internal political pressure to compel the United States government to change its long-standing policy of support for Israel. Oh, my. Oh, no, oh, no.
When have they not supported Israel? Jeez.
Within, I'm not sure
before
when it started,
existed.
But they planted the seeds a long time ago. I mean, this is like you got to go back to like the Schofield Bible days of getting these evangelicals and they pivoting all that in order to make it pro-Israel. Anyway, within the United States, the HSN receives the indispensable support of a vast network of activists and funders with much more ambitious, insidious goal. The destructions of capitalism and democracy. Yeah, if someone can only look at the ambitious, insidious goals of these Jewish activist groups in terms of what they have done to undermine democracy in the U.S. or whatever. The sting operations, the Epstein Mossad blackmailing schemes from U.S.'s liberty to 9/11. I mean, where do you want to begin if you're going to have an earnest look at this, right? As their ends align, the HSN and its nihilist supporters indoctrinate the gullible into supporting Hamas and hating Israel. Yeah, for no reason. To create the street mayhem that serves their ends. Yeah, if someone wouldn't have supported BLM. This network is nominal, American, but benefits from the support of training of America's overseas enemies. Its members hope to achieve their goals by taking advantage of our open society. Yeah, it's so open. No one is being banned or censored and like that. No one's being debanked. It's all democracy and freedom, right? Corrupting our education system, leveraging the American media, right? Copying the federal government and relying on the American Jewish community's complacency. Yeah, they've just been complacent all this time. They didn't do nothing. Mission statement. The National Task Force to Combat Anti-Semitism leads a coalition to dismantle the infrastructure that sustains the HSN and associated movements' anti-Semitic violence inside the United States
Where?
Of America.
Where's that violence?
I am not sure what that is. But that's
words,
what they say. Words are violence. Yeah, it's basically part of that. You're just seeing them on the streets is violence. Again, I don't like seeing it either. Just to clarify that again, I don't like seeing pro-Palestinian flags in the streets. I don't want that. You know, I don't want it in Europe anywhere else. But like again, take it up with those who are the Muslims didn't import themselves. Okay. Anyway, so they say within 12 to 24 months to restore equal protection under the law for all Americans. Blah blah blah. Yeah. Well, except those who you say you are not allowed to. Remember that all the universities and stuff. You can't have. You can't protest Israel here. You can't, you know, like the other flip side or the counteraction to what they saw, what they see as a big problem, was basically, oh, now let's ban and censor everyone who criticizes Israel, essentially, right? So intent here. Our intent is to organize and guide all willing and able partners in coordinated effort that employs all available resources to combat the scourge
Again,
of anti-Semitism
vague.
In the United States.
Okay, and then you're using public-private partnership and an admin in the White House. Yeah, but it's all very vague. Like, what are those tactics? I'm sure they have them behind the scenes. They don't lay it out here, but it's always this kind of nebulous talk. Well, how? What?
Yeah, I mean, it's a definition thing. Then they define, you know, they will, at some point, you can... you might see an official terrorist label for, you know, this network then, the Hamas support network, although that's not a thing, and it's not an official thing.
How about you just deport Muslims? That would be a good step.
Sure.
Step one.
But that would just claim that then, oh, this person said that they were pro-Palestinians, and then they're part of the HSN now, and then you can terrorist label them to shut them down or something like that, right? But I'm saying, and you guys know, most of you out there watching know this, right? But it's only really... when this became a problem for the Jews in America, that all of a sudden you saw them spring into action, mm-hmm. addressing immigration, addressing Muslims and Islam, and saying, "Right, there was a little bit of that after 9/11. I recognize that kind of thing, but without getting into the whole
that
thing,
died down pretty fast.
Fairly fast, right? This seems to have a little bit more sustained momentum behind it, if you will." So we'll see what they do on it, but it's only really then, right, that this became a problem, and I wouldn't be surprised, therefore, if we see then laws coming into place, right, to try to stop anti-Semitism, trying to shut down these groups and organizations, maybe deportations of Muslims, and stopping immigration from Arab and Muslim countries, which of course is great. I agree with all that, but if that means opening the doors to Pajits and Asians or whatever it is, right, or other ethnicities. Maybe even on a scale we've never seen before. That's not any better. In fact, now it's a group that might maybe nominally at least could fit in better, might hide more. They might take over more Americans' jobs and resources in a different way. That will be much more. It'll be much harder to restore America to its founding stock in a situation like that, as opposed to having like hordes of illegals that are very easy. I mean, in comparison. To like round up and kick out of the country legitimately because they're illegal.
I mean, none
right?
of it is good.
None of it
the
is
end
good.
Of the day.
Of course not.
And we're
going
to have to see what Trump's official stance is. What is he going to do on these H-1Bs?
Yeah.
Because he made some good comments on that before, and then he flip-flops the other way. So I don't know. We'll see what he actually does. Charles Turner Jr. says, after today, it's even more obvious that white people have been the only racial group who have not been encouraged to fight for their own interests. If I mention this to people and also mention how anti-white diversity is and they still don't get it, they may be lost. No more worrying about being called names. Nope, not at all.
Yeah. Don't give up, though.
Don't give up.
If they're not welcoming it, you don't have to keep pushing it. I totally get that. And what's the
point? They might come around, though. People
they might.
Do.
There's still time.
We've seen
still,
lots of people come back around.
Yeah,
lots
I mean,
lots of people.
There is a different environment today than it was in 10 years ago, for sure.
Even 5 years ago.
Yep, absolutely. So it's encouraging. This is not a black pill kind of thing. But what I'm saying is, you'll see a big pivot here. I've seen a lot of like accounts that are explicitly pro-Israeli. On Twitter, be them, Jewish or not Jewish, people behind those accounts, that have been, like, super excited about it. Like, they love that Trump is coming in and he's mm-hmm. going to change things, and they see that this is a boost for them, a boon for them. This is going to be something great, and he's going to tackle, all these Muslim radicals and the pro-Palestinian movements and the stuff. And again, I agree with those things. But if not if it's on, like... at the expense of them not looking out for white people, but standing up for like Israeli interests or Jewish interests, or like, is he going to strengthen the military and kick out the trannies and bring it up to speed again in order to go to war with Iran? Then no thanks, obviously. Going to some new world war type scenario with like the Muslim world or something just because it's to the benefit of Jewish activists and Israeli Zionist interest in America? No thanks. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they play this, right? Mission statement, last thing I'll read here. Did we read that? Yeah, I read that. A couple of more things here then. Ends goal, ensure that the U.S.-based anti-Semitic movements are incapable of threatening U.S. citizens with violence. It's going to be much more than that. It's going to be shutting down words and censoring people and banning them and saying you can't say that because, of course, they are proposing adopting these new definition terms of what anti-Semitism actually is. It's basically a way for them to ensure that Jews as an ethnic group or as a religion cannot be criticized
at all.
They're going to be exempt from criticism.
Yes.
If you criticize them, that's anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is illegal. So jail time for you. They want to create these European laws, essentially, that exist in many European countries. Objective, dismantle the pro-Hamas support networks infrastructure across America. It's going to be much more than that. And then they go through, you know, priorities, methods, ways, expose to critical resources fueling anti-Semitism, mobilize a coalition of private organizations, erode support for anti-Semitism. Again, what are all these things really mean?
There's a lot of leftist groups that are behind that, too. Are they going to be going after some of these liberals? I don't know.
Of course they are. Yeah. Absolutely. No, they've gone to war with that faction, and it's going to be a new right-wing nationalistic pro-Zionist movement. That's what they want.
Right, like what's in Europe, basically, with all the right-wing parties.
Exactly, yeah. Synchronized coalition actions to maximize impact, disrupt and degrade networks to deny them the resources they need to conduct and sustain anti-Semitic behavior. That can literally be anything, right? Erode support for anti-Semitic behavior, expose the individuals and organizations supporting such conduct to discourage it, and laud the individuals and organizations effectively countering to encourage others to join. Means, risk. So anyway, so these are some of the things that I think that they have in the pipeline of what they might want to do. Blood libel narrative leading credence to enforce HNS blame the Jews, mantra expanding anti-Semitism. It is therefore incumbent upon us to integrate measures to mitigate the negative consequences that could result from success. And then they conflate, of course, that somehow Jewish / Israeli interests are really American interests. It's also that aspect to it.
Yes.
All right, so that's on that front. And I think that's a good time to start wrapping it up here in a little bit, isn't it? What do you think, Lana?
Yes.
Lars Agerbeck on Odyssey here says, this is a haiku poem for Henrik. Can I go? Oh, yeah, I can scroll down on there. Okay, let me see here. There we go. This is a haiku poem for Henrik. I think it's appropriate considering Trump's inauguration today. Hope you get my point. The title of the poem is Net Positive. Here it goes. Okay. Oh, can't I see the whole... hang on, let me click in here. Holy smokes. There we go. Here he goes. It's my battle cry written on my battle flag. On this hill I'll die. Is that a haiku? I forget what's the rules for haiku. There's some rule there. I know. I'll die on the Greenland hill, but I'm not sure. But anyway. Thank you, Lars. I appreciate that. Very nice. Did you enjoy that, Lana?
That's all right.
That's all right. No. Oh, you're dissing?
No,
I'm just joking. Yep.
Oh, you know, I'm open to, let's see some good things happening.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yes.
And let's continue to call out the bad and continue to push things further in our direction. That's what we're doing here.
That's right. Okay. Well, thank you guys. We appreciate you. Of course, we'll keep monitoring what happens with the administration, who gets confirmed or not. We'll see when they start voting on some of these nominees and stuff. We had a little thing on Pete Hegseth, for example, of his, you know, his Hebrew tattoos and things like that. Like there are some of those Third Temple enthusiasts that are being placed within Trump's administration, which is a worrying element. You have full on, like, you know, open, just let's just go to war type of guys, or like Israel at all costs. They're very Israel first as opposed to America first. And that's a big problem.
Sure,
I mean, that's a huge danger.
Of course.
So if they pop something off at that time, and they have people like Pete Hegseth being nominated for the head of the Department of Defense at that point, chances are he'll just go all in and just support a, you know, invasion of whatever country or whatever organization that they say is housed within X countries or something like that, and they'll just there will be a huge shit show. So we'll see what happens, basically. But all right, thank you guys. Appreciate your support. We'll be back with more here then in a couple of days. We have some shorter videos we want to work on as well.
Yeah, I've got three I've written. I need to record, and I'm doing an interview also, recording it on Thursday. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it live yet. I won't tell you the name. It'll be a surprise. I'm not sure if I'm going to do that live yet, but on Thursday.
Okay, this Thursday, we'll see. We'll have dates and stuff like that for you guys. Yeah, I have a couple. We have some people that will be showing up in the studio as well. Mm-hmm. It'll be exciting. We won't want to announce that just yet, but that's the plan anyway. So we'll do more stuff coming up here. So thank you guys. We appreciate you. This is kind of a stand-in, I guess, for our Western Warrior here this week.
Yeah.
Because it's live. It's happening now. It's relevant, and it's just better to do it live.
You do it, and it's up Tuesday, Wednesday. It's old news.
Yeah, it's too late kind of thing. Yeah, definitely. But anyway, we'll be back with more here soon, guys. So thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to support us, of course, check out redicemembers.com. And, oh, quick note as well. I just want to mention that real quick. If you are subscribed for a membership over on Odyssey, they're doing away with their Stripe payment system. Now, they have something in the backup. We've got to look into what that is and how it works or whatever. We're dropping Stripe, forcing Odyssey to restrict users from using Odyssey because they don't align with Stripe's policies, which are not ours. And that's where we draw the line. New monetization program coming soon. Stay tuned. So we're going to read their article. They link up on that to see what options do they have. And if we encourage you guys to, yeah, that seems fine. Let's stay there. But in the meantime, if you want to get a membership, I guess just for now, just avoid Odyssey just until we know if it's like going to be a good option or not, because I don't know what it is. It might be some internal crypto system or something that they have, and it might be hard to, like, I don't know, go in and out, cash in and out of that or something like that. So if you do want a membership, of course, redicemembers.com is a great way. But otherwise, Subscribestar and Locals is a good option for now as well, until we can figure out what's going on with Odyssey and what direction they're going and stuff like that. So we appreciate your patience on that, guys. Thank you so much. We appreciate all our members and supporters out there. We love you guys. We can't do this without you. Yes. So thank you to you guys, and thank you to all our producers, executive producers. I'm still working on getting that graphic done. It's not 100% done yet, so we're going to show that here hopefully in the next stream or the one after that. So that will be done. But thank you, guys. Thank you to everyone super chatting as well, of course. Especially thanks to Albert and Joni today for your huge support. We appreciate you very, very much, of course, as always. But yeah, thank you, guys. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Take care. See you later.
Thank you for watching. Go to redicemembers.com and sign up for exclusive members content. Don't miss our latest shows, interviews, and other videos only for subscribers. You can also become a member by signing up at subscribestar.com/redice. Get full access and help support our work. See you on the other side.